Today, we're going to look at some defining moments in our lives that really have changed our lives to make us look like different women in Christ. Hope has a name. Well, hello, we're back together again. I'm Dr. Peggy Banks.
And I'm Babbie Mason, and welcome to Hope Has a Name. And Peggy, it's so good to be with you, my friend.
It is so wonderful to be with you, Babbie. And today, we're just sitting around the table talking about things that matter to God and matter to us as women. And, you know, this topic that we're talking about today is bringing it down, is getting real on what it means to walk every day as a follower of Jesus.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I love that. You know, Peggy, taking this journey with you has really, number one, it's been truly encouraging because I get a chance to look inside your life and see how Jesus has changed your life. Mm. And that just really infuses me with hope.
Yeah.
And that's what the show is all about.
I love that, Babbie. And that is true because we come from very different backgrounds. I am encouraged because there are things that you're sharing with me, Babbie. A woman who's known the Lord almost 40 years. I mean,
It's actually been over 50.
Wow.
I accepted Christ when I was 8 years of age. So
yes.
That lets you know that I'm over 58 years of age. I'm 59.95 plus tax, shipping and handling. But yeah, I've walked with Jesus a long time.
And that is so amazing that today, every day, you are still finding these nuggets, these truths about God's word in a passage that maybe you've read thousands of times. You've probably taught a message on this passage in Scripture. And so that's encouraging for me because sometimes, you know, I've gone the route of going to school and going all the way and going to seminary and then teaching and at a seminary and those kinds of things. And you think, okay, I think I've learned all that I could learn about God's Word. But it's never ending.
No, it's never ending.
There's more for us every
Apostle
day.
The Apostle Paul talks about the height,
yes,
the depth, the length, and the breadth of
yes,
the love of God. And you can just never exhaust it.
That's right. So I want our listeners to know today that be encouraged, because sometimes you're thinking, gosh, I just don't know God's word the way everyone else does, or I just don't know that passage, or maybe you've walked with the Lord for many years and you're feeling kind of dry and you're feeling, you know, that there's nothing else for you to learn. Hang in there. Join us every single day that we come together around the table with Hope Has a Name and continue to grow in our knowledge and understanding of who God is and whose we are as followers of Jesus. So today we are going to talk about that. We're going to look at some defining moments in our lives that really have changed our lives to make us look like different women in Christ, right?
Yes.
These places in our lives where we recognize I'm a new creation. There's something that God just shared with me in His Word that
yes,
really has connected with my heart, and my life is changed for it today.
And I will never be the same.
That's right.
Because of that moment.
Yes.
That moment was like an intersection
yeah,
in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And from then on, it's like a trajectory that has taken you from here to another point. It's like putting you on another road that has changed, literally changed the course
yes,
of your life.
Yes, yes.
And there have been a lot of defining moments for me.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for mentioning the fact that there's a diversity in our relationship.
Yes.
I'm a black girl from up north, from the state of Michigan near Detroit, the daughter of a pastor,
mm-hmm,
five generations of pastors, so church is our life. I grew up playing the piano for my daddy's church. They saw some potential there. Our
yes,
church pianist had to move away. Her husband got a job in another city, and I'd been playing the piano for a couple of years, taking piano lessons, and when there was a vacancy there was nobody to play, daddy looked at me one day and said, "Bab, today, you're going to play."
Oh, my goodness. You know, I think that's so amazing. I remember being in church, seeing and hearing of those kind of lives, Babbie, those people that grew up in the church and thinking, I wish I had that story. I really was missing and thinking I was less than because I didn't have that story. You
yeah,
know? But that's an amazing story that you have.
And that was a defining moment as an 8-year-old.
Yes.
I mean, to be in the third grade and your dad say, okay, you're going to be the full-time pianist. Now, he didn't say you're going to be in this full-time, but I actually ended up playing the piano for the church for almost 20 years.
And it was
a full-time responsibility for a third grader because it meant three choir rehearsals a week. It meant Sunday. Can I just say a little cultural insert here? Black people love to have church all day on Sunday.
That's right.
All day.
There's no going home and resting.
No, we had a broadcast at 9 o'clock a.m. Mm. That was live.
Wow.
Every Sunday morning. And then Sunday school at 9:30. And then Sunday morning worship at 11 o'clock, which lasted somewhere between 1 and 1:30.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. And then a lot of the auxiliaries or departments in the church would have a Sunday afternoon service,
sure.
Which means I'd have to be there to play the piano for the choir, for the devotion, or whatever else was going on at 3:30.
Yes.
And that service would be over at about 5:30 or 5:45. And then we'd had an evening service that was at 7:30, which got out somewhere between 9 and 9:15. So church on Sunday was an all-day affair.
And this was every Sunday
of
your life,
Every
Betty,
Sunday.
Right?
Every Sunday of my life. That's until I got married and moved to Georgia. Well, when I went off to school,
yes.
To college, even though I went to school kind of locally,
right.
There was a little bit of a respite, but some weekends when I was traveling with the singing group
mm-hmm.
that I was a part of when I was in college.
Okay.
But when I was home, I was right back there and assuming my responsibilities as the church pianist.
Yeah, that's commitment. That is a lot of commitment. I've worked in church work with my walk with the Lord. And the most I've done is 15 years, and I'm every Sunday morning getting up and being there, you know, 5:30 in the morning to be able to be in ministry until 2 o'clock in the afternoon, not till 7 or 8 or 9 o'clock at night, but just 15 years. And I remember that commitment that you need and that
yes.
dedication every single week.
Every yeah. single week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, it gave me, Peggy, it gave me that commitment starting very early in life. Gave me a real foundation.
Yes.
Number one, a foundation of commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Commitment.
Yes.
When the weather is hot, and we didn't have air conditioning,
yeah.
we used those funeral home fans, you know, the fan that advertised the local funeral home on the back. That
yes.
was our air conditioning.
Yes.
We showed up anyway.
That's
in the
right.
middle of the in the dead of winter,
yeah.
when it's January and the temperature is below zero and the streets are icy, and I was the preacher's daughter and Daddy had to be there early to put salt on the walk and shovel the snow and turn on the heat, and I had to be there with him.
Yes, yes.
And you just did it.
That's right. That's right.
But it gave me a foundation that I wouldn't trade for the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think even it's the prerequisite for the ministry that the Lord has given me today.
I'm sure.
But talking yes. about defining moments,
mm-hmm.
so, you know, I grew up in the church and involved in Sunday school and Bible study and went to a Christian college.
Mm-hmm.
And so my life has just been church.
Yes.
It's been church. So I've read the Bible, and I'm not going to say that I'm a scholar by any means, and I admire you because you are a wonderful theologian. I mean, you study, you went to seminary.
Seminary.
Did I say that?
Come on, baby. It is not a cemetery.
No, not cemetery. Seminary.
Yes.
And study the Bible, mm. and you can exegete a passage mm. and all of this stuff mm. that I just so admire about theologians and that kind of thing. But one day, I heard the pastor at our church say this. He said, turn to your neighbor and say to your neighbor, I'm God's favorite.
Mm.
And I thought, I don't know if I can say that. That's kind of over the top.
Mm-hmm.
But I said those words to my husband, and I went home, and I thought, I tried to process that, and it just felt really awkward, you know, to even think that that could be possible.
Yes.
So
yes.
I started to search the scriptures, looking for a passage that I could stand upon and find a promise that I could hide in my heart concerning that. And in my search, I came up on the 17th chapter of the book of John,
mm.
which I'd read many times and mostly out of the King James Version because that was the version that I grew up reading.
Mm-hmm.
But this particular day, as I was studying John chapter 17, I was reading from another version, from the New Century Version, mm-hmm. and the translation of this version just really spoke to me.
Yes.
It's a red letter passage, and Jesus is praying for the disciples. Mm-hmm. Verse 20 reveals he's praying for us,
yes,
all of us who believed in their teaching. Mm-hmm. And then I got to verse 23, and this is what it said. And this is the verse that has literally altered the course of my life. Jesus is praying.
Yes.
I realize he's praying for me.
Mm-hmm.
Get that, wrap your mind around that.
I know.
Mm. And then verse 23 says this, as Jesus was praying, I am in them and you are in me. May they be completely one. Then the world will know that you sent me and that you love them just as much as you love me.
Wow.
So Jesus is praying that I would know that God loves me,
yes,
just as much as he loves Jesus. Mm-hmm. Now, I've always known that God loves me, and I was happy with that.
Right, right.
I was happy with the fact that God loves me.
Yes.
But for some reason, I thought in my mind that there's a hierarchy, that he must love the disciples, Peter and Paul and the mother of Jesus and,
yes,
and all the disciples. He must love them more because they're martyred and mm-hmm, they mm-hmm, died for the cause of Christ.
Yes,
and
yes.
He loves missionaries because they go to the uttermost parts of the world and you never hear from
that's
them again.
Right, that's right.
He must love them
and
more.
He's always thinking of them and being with them. And
yes.
Him, right,
and they're sacrificing
them,
their life, yes, and their, yes, time, and they're giving,
yes,
to extremes. He must love them more.
Mm-hmm.
I actually thought that. And I thought, well, I'm just happy to just be in the outer circle.
Mm-hmm.
He loves me. I love Jesus. He loves me. I'm going to heaven. I'm happy with that. I'm serving him with my life. I'm working. I'm working. I'm working. I'm serving. I'm serving. I'm serving.
Yeah.
He loves me. I'm happy with that. And then I read John 17, 23, that God loves me just as much as he loves Jesus. I read that, mm-hmm, in red in my Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally said out loud, sitting at my kitchen table, what? I said that aloud. What? You love me just as much as you love Jesus? Really? I actually said that.
Wow.
God, you mean you love me?
Yeah.
It blew my mind to such an extent that all I could do was cry.
Wow. Wow.
God, you mean you love me?
Amen.
Just as much as you love Jesus? What in the world? And it has rocked,
yeah,
that truth. Has rocked my world.
Yes.
And what it tells me is that, okay, Jesus is God's favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is the Father's only begotten Son. He's an only child.
Mm-hmm.
He is the rightful heir to his Father's kingdom.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus is perfect, beautiful, spotless, holy, blameless, and God loves me just like that.
Wow, Babbie, that's so powerful. What a powerful testimony that you have today. And the important truth is us recognizing that that is, was a defining moment for you.
Yes, a defining moment. Changed my life.
Absolutely. And that can happen in each of all of our lives, right? As we are reading the Bible and we're reading the Word, the Holy Spirit that lives in us, the role of the Holy Spirit is to remind us of the things that God has taught us. That's one of his roles, is to remind us of those things. So those defining moments can happen at any moment when we're reading the Word of God, because our spirit is united with the Spirit of God. And so that is fantastic for us to believe that your life matters to God just as much. His love for you is just as much as he loves Jesus. We want our listeners to know that your life matters to God just as much. He loves you just as much as he loves Jesus. We see that in John 17. My life matters to God. So we pray today that you would know and you would have a defining moment in your walk with the Lord. Maybe that's going to happen today as you read the Word, as you enter into prayer, as you are seeking him with your whole heart. He has a message for you that will bring you deeper into this understanding of his love, his grace, and his mercy for you. Babbie, thank you so much for sharing that part of your life with us today and your testimony.
Absolutely. It's all my joy.
Amen. We'll talk to you again soon as we sit around the table and talk about things that matter to God and to our hearts.
Well, we hope that you've enjoyed our conversation today. And we would love to hear from you. And our email address is twrwomenofhope@twr.org. So reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you soon.